It was a dark and gloomy day of depression in the metropolis of Omaha, Nebraska, on the north side. And it was so easy to be depressed because I was fresh home from getting kicked out of the army for my big mouth. So job hunting was a challenge. It was a big challenge, and I really didn't get considered for any positions. With my high school diploma and my general discharge from the military, the only people that wanted to hire me said, you're gonna have to ask them, would you like fries with that? So that was frustrating beyond measure. And then a high school friend of mine continued to just whisper into my ear. Whisper, and I would ignore the whispers, have to ignore the whispers, because he wasn't talking about anything. But this depression got deeper and deeper as I'm back in my mama's house, but I'm grown. I've been out living by myself. And I'm back in mom's house, and I'm thinking about my big sister who's away in college, and all of my close friends who are away in college, and thinking about me who is not away in college because I'm back in mama's house with no job. It sucks, totally. And the whispers got so loud, and as we were chain smoking so much weed and drinking malt liquor, which nobody should ever drink, the whispers sounded like they made sense because I'm a dreamer. And I said, you know what? I just want to go to college and change the world, but I don't have a way to get to college. I'm not going to get a scholarship with those grades in high school. So if I listen to these whispers, we can make so much money as illicit pharmaceutical representatives temporarily. And then we can spend this money for our tape, and then we're gonna do this. We're gonna give our demo tape to a record company, and we're gonna become these famous rappers, and then we're gonna take the money from our rap career and pay for college. And I believed in it. It sounded like a great idea. So I did it, and I was miserable. It was so much money so fast. I was like, wow, this is so easy. All you do is take it, you wrap it up, you chop it up, then you wrap it up, and then you just sell it, and then you just count lots of money. And it was so easy. But I could, it was only one thing that made it miserable, and it was this piercing, drilling through my skull into the nerves of my brain, and it was just murdering my conscience. It was stabbing at my conscience, and I couldn't pretend like I enjoyed my form of work. I couldn't. But I tried, and I would try to drink more and smoke more because I just wanted to get this money and be done with it, because all I wanted to do was go to college and change the world. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to become a teacher, actually, because I wanted to prove all of the teachers that said I was going to go to jail or be dead. I wanted to prove all of them wrong and say, wait a minute, no, I can be a better teacher than you. But I was on the wrong track, actually. I was really on the wrong track, I'm thinking. All of that would change December the 24th, 1994. That day, I smoked so much weed, I did rule number 1050. Never go to sleep and take a siesta in a crack house. It's just not safe. So I woke up in this room that I didn't walk into, and my shoes were off. And I immediately reached into my pocket to dig deep and find no money and no crack. So now I'm unemployed again, which is not good. It was really disturbing. So I'm just reflecting. I'm sitting down. I'm like, what do I do? I have no crack. I can't make any money. I have no money. I can't do anything. I'm a failure amongst flunkies. Wow, this is not where I want to be right now. And then this addict comes into the room, and I know her because she's the cousin of the woman whose house we're selling crack out of. And she walks into the room and she says, baby boy, God told me you're not supposed to be here. These guys are killers and you ain't built for this. And the reality was so sobering because I knew I was living a lie. I couldn't do it. I cried so much that my tear ducts were dehydrated. But the reality was, I'm stuck. And she walks over to a drawer and she opens it. This dope fiend who uses her body with other people to supply her own habit, and she gives me back all of my money and my crack and hands it to me. I have got to get rid of this crack today and never sell again. So I was on a mission. I am going to do whatever I have to do. It's a clearance sale on crack today. And you can get 2-for-1, 3-for-1. I just want to sell it and be done forever. But business was slow because I was on the skeleton crew because I fell asleep for like 5 hours. Not a good business move. I waited and waited and waited. And now it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not making any money, but I have a little money. and I don't know what to do with this crack. And then knock at the door, and I go to the door, and there was a woman at the door, and she's got to be about 80 million years old, which is disturbing in and of itself. And she's trying to hand me a garbage bag, which is not good. And I smell all of the perspiration, and I smell the stench of old urine from her clothes and her body, and it was just terrible. And she opens the bag, and it's all of her grandkids' Christmas presents with the wrapping still on them, and she hands me the handful of receipts, and I try to convince myself that I'm actually doing her a favor because she won't have to prostitute herself tonight because I'm going to take this off of her hands. And I did it, but I accidentally looked into her eyes, and I saw the pain and the depression and the hurt, and I couldn't hide my tears, and I ran to the bathroom, and I bent over, and I cried. And I cried all over this crack, and I flushed all that down the toilet, and I knew I could never do this again. And I walked out of that house with no crack and very little money. And as I'm walking down this extremely dark street, it's cold, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I can't stop crying, but there was a sigh of relief because I knew I'm never selling crack again.